Hi, everybody. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And it's January 1st. Happy New Year,
Happy
everybody.
Happy New Year. What are we doing working today, Tom?
Some people like to work. Some people like to take the day off. I guess, whatever you want to do, you can do what you want to do. And we're working today because it's a pleasure to start the year off on the right foot. It's, 2014 now, right?
It is. Can you believe it?
Time is marching by.
I know.
Time flies. And, well, today we're going to be talking about sports, which might be difficult to play on a cold, rainy day, if that's the way the weather is today. We're inside a studio. I can't really tell what the weather is like outside right now, but we are talking about sports today. But actually, this is a sport that you don't need to play outdoors. You can play it indoors. It's soccer indoors.
I would say this is a game, not a sport.
Yeah, I guess a game would be more appropriate there. We're talking about something called foosball, not football, but foosball. It's playing soccer with your hands.
Mm.
Isn't that kind of illegal? I thought soccer was the sport in which you could not use your hands.
Well, I don't really watch much soccer. I know you like it more than I do. I think it's boring. But in soccer, you can only use your feet and your head, right?
I guess you can also get away with your shoulders and your chest and stuff like that. But your hands, that's a no-no.
They're illegal. What if you do touch the ball with your hands in soccer? What happens to you?
You get a red card. You get kicked out of the game is what happens. They're pretty strict about that. So, yes, handball is no good. But, hey, if you're playing foosball, you do play soccer or football with your hands. And, yes, this is like a table soccer. And we call it foosball in the United States. When I was growing up, they said, oh, we call it foosball because it's from the German, which means football in German, Fußball, although the spelling is somewhat different, but basically that's what it's called.
It's really a table game. It resembles soccer. You move the ball around by turning these little rods. We're going to talk about how this works. But first, guys, we're going to read through the entire lesson.
It's the dying seconds of a fierce soccer match. The midfielder with the ball quickly moves sideways to bypass his opponent and then passes the ball to the striker. The striker looks for a gap in the defensive line. Seeing his moment, he rotates 360 degrees in the air, blasting the ball past the helpless goalkeeper to win the match. "That's cheating," one guy says. "You can't spin the players like that. We'll replay the point," says the other. The ball is picked up and rolled back into play through the hole in the side of the table. These guys are playing foosball or table football, a fun tabletop game found in bars, arcades, and other entertainment venues. Each player controls 11 figures attached to metal rods and attempts to score as many goals as possible. Anyone can join in the fun. Games between friends are generally fast and furious, but real experts can skillfully manipulate the ball, controlling it perfectly and not letting their opponent get a touch. Foosball used to be pretty popular in Taiwan, but its popularity waned with the advent of video games, which took Taiwan by storm. However, the 2010 FIFA World Cup reawakened Taiwanese people's interest in soccer, and foosball tables made a comeback as well. It's now a big hit with college students, engineers, and anyone else with agile wrists and dreams of sporting glory. If you're looking for a great way to wind down after a busy week at work, head to a table and give foosball a whirl.
Okay, let's get started here. We're talking about foosball. I wanted to mention we also call it table soccer in America. And the Brits actually call it table football, which we actually use in the article itself. That's a British expression. It says here that it's the dying seconds of a fierce soccer match. The dying seconds means just the last few seconds of something that's happening. Here we're talking about a soccer match that's described as being fierce. If it's fierce, there's a lot of emotion. It's very intense, very strong. If you watch Project Runway, which is a reality show on TV here where these young fashion designers design clothes. There was one guy named Christian Siriano, and he would describe his clothes as being fierce, kind of strong, kind of intense. Well, a game can get pretty fierce if people really want to win, and it's very competitive.
Exactly. It can be very intense. And this is the dying seconds, which means the game is almost over. There are only maybe 10 seconds left in the game. And in soccer, you have different positions. You have the goalkeeper, you have the forwards, you have the defensive backs, you have the midfielders. And a midfielder basically is somebody who plays in the middle. And this midfielder here has the ball, and he quickly moves sideways to bypass his opponent. If you bypass something, you go past something that's in the way. This happens a lot of times in the United States when you're driving on highways. There are highways that go around cities, so you don't have to go through them. That would be the bypass. Like, my parents live in Ames, you know, Iowa, so Highway 30 used to go through the middle of town. It was the Lincoln Highway, but now there's the 30 bypass, which goes around the city, so you don't have to stop at all the stoplights downtown.
Reminds me of the Washington Beltway. In Washington, D.C., you certainly don't want to drive down the middle of the city. It's a mess. So there's this round beltway that circles the city that you can get off and on, so you can bypass all the downtown traffic. So he's going to move sideways to bypass or avoid his opponent. An opponent can be a person or a team or even a group that you're competing against, and one of you, of course, want to win in some sort of competition or contest. Of course, the Yankees' fiercest opponent would be the Red Sox. Here he wants to bypass his opponent on the field and then passes the ball to a person whose position is called the striker. The striker is also described as being a forward in soccer.
Right, and those are the guys who usually get all the glory because they score all the goals.
Cool.
And so the striker is up there in the front waiting for the ball to be passed to him so he can kick it into the goal.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah?
What position did David Beckham play when he was still playing soccer?
I don't remember.
Really?
I assume he was a striker. But,
oh, I think he was a striker.
I would have to look that up,
gets
actually.
Attention. Oh,
I like to watch soccer, but I don't really know that much about the game.
Oh. Okay.
All I know is that Wayne Rooney is the striker for Manchester United.
He's a big guy.
Actually, no. No, he's kind of small compared to like Lionel Messi and people.
Oh, he looks very, very rugged and strong to me.
He kind of does, yeah, but I don't think he's very tall.
Oh.
But hey, soccer's nice that way because you don't have to be tall to play, whereas in basketball, you pretty much have to be over 6 feet to play. But in any case here, the midfielder passes the ball to the striker, bypassing the opponent, and the striker looks for a gap in the defensive line. A gap here is just an opening. Looking for a gap, of course. If you kick the ball and someone's there, they're going to stop the ball. That's no good. So you want an opening, a place that's open so the ball will go into the goal. And, of course, the people who are trying to stop the striker from scoring the goal is the defensive line. Defensive means having to do with defense in sports. They're the ones who are trying to stop the opponents from scoring a goal.
Mm-hmm. Here the word defensive is an adjective, and it's always used in front of a noun in sports. So notice here we're putting it in front of the line, defensive line. Those people who were trying to stop that ball from going in and scoring a point. Now seeing his moment, the striker rotates 360 degrees in the air. Wow! He does a full circle in the air. That's
like
pretty amazing. Yeah. A rotate just means you're moving or turning in a circle. For example, we know the planets all rotate around the sun. So he rotates or spins in the air and blasts the ball past the helpless goalkeeper. If you blast something, and we're talking about sports here, it means you hit or kick something with a lot of force. So if you're watching a hockey game, one of the hockey players might blast the puck. That's that little solid piece of metal that they're hitting
rubber,
around.
Actually.
Oh, is it rubber?
Yeah.
Good thing. They're blasting the puck past the goalie. Or you could blast the ball over the fence for a home run if you're playing baseball.
Blast just means explode like a bomb, so this means that something moves very quickly, very suddenly. So the striker kicks the ball and the ball moves very quickly. He blasts the ball past the goalkeeper, and as a result, they win the match. I should say that in soccer, we do say soccer match oftentimes, but it's a basketball game or a baseball game or a hockey game. Soccer match or a tennis match, I suppose you would call badminton a match as well, a badminton match.
Yeah. The goalkeeper is the person who's defending the goal in various games. Here we're using it to talk about a soccer player who's defending the area where they can actually kick the ball in. A goaltender is a person who in hockey is defending the area where you can get a point. Goalkeeper, though, is used in soccer.
Or sometimes just shortened to the keeper, okay? Now, one guy says that's cheating. If you're cheating, you're playing the game in an unfair way. In soccer, if you cheat, you maybe pick up the ball with your hands and throw it into the goal or something like that. Or, I don't know, there are different ways to cheat in baseball as well, like maybe putting a rubber inside your bat or something, or taking illegal drugs to enhance your performance. That's a form of cheating. You're not playing by the rules. One guy thinks that rotating the player 360 degrees in the air is cheating. He does go on to say, you can't spin the players like that. To spin means to move something in a complete circle. Dancers oftentimes spin when they're dancing.
Or ice skaters will do big spins. I thought you could spin these players when you're playing foosball. At least the people I play with all must cheat because we all spin those players. But I guess it's against the rules, technically. So the other opponent says, well, replay the point. So the ball is then picked up, and you roll it back through the hole in the side of the table, and they start the point again.
Exactly. So I guess up to now, if you didn't know this is what we were talking about, you may have been confused. Hey, are they really playing soccer here? But when you see them describe the ball being picked up and rolled back into play through the hole at the side of the table, then you do know that they are talking about foosball or table soccer, table football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the next paragraph goes on to say. It says these guys are playing foosball or table football, which is a fun tabletop game found in various places. You can find them in bars or pubs, I suppose, arcades, and other entertainment venues. So that's what foosball is, foosball. I believe that's a trademark. A company that made these games before actually called it foosball, F-O-O-S. But according to my information, the word in German for foot is F-U-S-S, foosball. Pronounced the same, but spelled slightly differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically means the same thing, football or table football.
There are still arcades here in Taiwan that I've seen. It's a place that has a lot of games that you can go to, and usually you play those games by putting in coins, and then the game starts. So those are kind of fun places. Nowadays, people are getting video game equipment to have in their homes.
Well, they're playing games on their smartphones these days.
Yeah.
Or on their home computers. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I actually saw an arcade in Taiwan.
Yeah, there's one out by the Taipei Zoo area.
Really?
Yeah, because I went with some little kids one Saturday.
I think it's actually closed now. I think you're probably talking about the Zoo Mall.
That's sad, really?
It's sitting totally empty right now.
Oh.
I think there used to be some arcades in Simending and Gongguan and Sherlin and places like that. Although I haven't seen them in a long time, but in any case, an arcade does refer to a place that has lots of video games that you can play, or foosball tables. And you can see these foosball tables at other entertainment venues. A venue is just simply a place where something takes place. A venue. What is the venue for the Olympics next time? Well, I believe it's in Brazil in the summer.
Mm-hmm. We'll often use it when we're talking about an event that's being held for a specific reason, a sports venue. Maybe there's a trial being held. Where's the venue of the trial? Where's the wedding banquet venue? Where are you holding it? So we use it in that way. Right now, guys, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about foosball. This is actually a unique kind of game because it's actually physical. It's not on a screen. It seems to me that most people these days prefer to play games on their little smartphones or their iPads or their notebook computers. Or
well,
their
there are
PCs.
Xboxes out there still.
Right. All these games are played on screens, but this is kind of an arcade game that you can actually play with your hands. You can actually get into it physically. It doesn't just exercise your fingertips.
You have to stand up, right? You have
yes.
to stand up and actually have your hands on these rods we're going to talk about.
Right. Each player controls 11 figures attached to metal rods and attempts to score as many goals as possible. So, yes, if you're standing at one side of the table, I think there are like 4 or 5 rods. I don't have a table with me right now, so I don't remember the exact number, but you have to control these rods. There's like a little handle on the end of each rod, and you pull it back and forth to control the position of those players, and each rod has maybe one player or 2 or 3 or 4 on these rods, and those rods are pushed back and forth, and you spin them to try to kick the ball around.
Yeah, you have to be kind of fast to win. I've played with some of my brothers, and they're really good and fast, so find somebody who is at your level, and you'll have more fun. Now, we're saying that each player controls 11 figures attached to metal rods. I've usually only played with one opponent, so someone will have one side, I'll have the other. If you're attached to something, it means you're connected or joined to something. We'll often see the phrase, please see the document that's attached, or please find the attached document. It means the email that you're sending also has an additional document that you've attached or connected to it. So these 11 figures are attached to what we're calling metal rods. A rod is a straight, thin stick or metal bar. In your bathrooms, you might have a curtain rod that holds your curtains up while you take a shower. There are also lightning rods on the top of buildings in case lightning strikes. You don't want your building to start on fire. Or if you like to go fishing, instead of calling it a fishing pole, P-O-L-E, we might call it a fishing rod, R-O-D.
A rod and reel. You can take that out and go fishing for, you know, trout or perch or something like that. And so, yes, you control these rods and you attempt to score as many goals as possible. So when you put the ball into the opening at the end of the table, you have scored a goal. So that's what you want to do. That's the goal of the game. And anyone can join in the fun. It's open to anybody, young and old, men, women, handicapped people, regular people. They can all play. All you need to do is just grab those rods and hit that ball around. And, of course, if you have friends, you can play games between yourselves. Games between friends are generally fast and furious. Furious here usually means somebody's extremely angry. Now you've done it. You've made me absolutely furious. I'm going to beat the poop out of you. In that case, it means really angry, but furious here just means with a lot of excitement and a lot of action.
We also use furious to describe something that's very powerful or violent, like a furious storm. A lot of you out there have probably seen the movie series called Fast and Furious, which has Vin Diesel, the actor, in it. It's all about cars and racing cars. Fast and furious is often used as a phrase together, not just furious, but, oh, it's fast and furious. The game was really fast and furious, where it just happens in a very, very quick-paced way. So we're talking about this game going by really fast.
Right, and if you don't have any experience, lots of people just grab those rods and just spin them and hope they hit the ball.
That's me.
That's me, too. But if you're a real expert, if you have some experience, if you practiced for many hours, you can skillfully manipulate the ball, controlling it perfectly and not letting their opponent get a touch. Manipulate means you move something in such a way so as to control it. So, yes, indeed, you've got these rods, you've got these players on the rods, and you can control that ball very well so that your opponent cannot touch the ball. Here we're using the word touch as a noun. They often talk about this in soccer, football, touch. What kind of touch does the ball have? How does it feel with your foot? And so, yes, you want to get a touch. In other words, your foot makes contact or touches the ball.
We also use touch as a noun in basketball and American football. How many touches did he get during the game? How many times did he actually control or handle the ball? Like Tom said, we use it in soccer, basketball, or American football. So you'll see it sometimes as a noun like that. Now, foosball used to be pretty popular in Taiwan, but its popularity waned with the advent of video games. Wane is a verb that means it becomes a smaller or less in size. Maybe it decreases in size or amount, even length or quality. Interest in the Yankees has waned in Taiwan since Wang Jianmin quit playing for them, I could say. So people just don't like foosball as well as they used to because now we have video games. Advent here is a noun. It just means the time when something begins or makes its first appearance. We'll often say the advent of spring or the advent of the printing press happened long ago when the printing press was first invented or made its appearance.
I suppose you could say this about any place in the United States, of course. Lots of games like foosball or table tennis or pinball machines, they were all very popular. But then along came video games like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and games like that.
So better technology.
Those are the old video games, of course. They're new ones nowadays. But yes, we've got the advent of video games. And of course, they've got all the colors and the sounds.
Yeah.
Who can resist that? So all those boring games like foosball and table tennis, they all just kind of disappeared. Or as it says here, the popularity waned or decreased in size. And, well, yes, those video games took Taiwan by storm, and usually we refer to some trend that gets popular really fast as taking the place by storm. Various trends have come and gone. Suddenly they appear overnight, like smartphones kind of took Taiwan by storm. One day they were all using regular cell phones, and the next they were all tapping screens on their iPhones.
I could say Jason Wu, the Taiwanese fashion designer, has taken the fashion world by storm. He's suddenly very popular because he designed a dress for Michelle Obama.
She looked quite stunning in that dress.
Yeah, we're excited to see Jason have some success around the world. So to take something by storm is a phrase you'll see quite frequently. Now, the 2010 FIFA World Cup reawakened Taiwanese people's interest in soccer. So even though it was becoming less and less popular, once we had the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the people in Taiwan thought, I remember foosball. That was kind of fun. Remember that? If you awaken something in someone, it means you make them aware of it. To reawaken means you make them aware of it once again. So they knew about it before, and now they're aware of it one more time. So it kind of got people interested in foosball and soccer once again.
Yes, the 2010 World Cup took place in South Africa, I believe, and I believe I spoke incorrectly early in the show. I said in 2014 the Olympics were going to be in Brazil. I'm actually wrong there. In 2014, this year, it's going to be the World Cup. The Olympics are later on in Brazil. But in any case here, yes, when people saw those games on TV and they thought, well, yeah, soccer's kind of boring compared to baseball or basketball, but still, it's kind of cool the way those guys sort of manipulate that ball and move it around. They don't score very much, but still, they are quite skilled athletes. So people, hey, they became more interested in soccer, and foosball tables made a comeback. And if something makes a comeback, it becomes popular again. It was popular before, then it kind of waned or disappeared, and then it became popular again. We often say this about celebrities, for example. They were popular before. They kind of disappeared for a while, and then they made a comeback, like various pop singers here in Taiwan do that all the time.
I remember when John Travolta had his big comeback when he made Pulp Fiction a long time ago, actually. He was really popular as a young guy because he was in some disco movies, and he was a great dancer and kind of sexy. And then his career just, you know, kind of went down the toilet, you could say. And he made a comeback with Pulp Fiction. So sometimes artists, especially actors, will have a comeback, will make a comeback. This particular sport, soccer, has made a comeback in Taiwan.
An example maybe that you would relate to here in Taiwan would be Zhuge Liang. He was popular many years ago. He kind of disappeared. But now he's made a comeback, and his TV show is now one of the most popular TV shows on the TV.
Cool.
And so foosball tables have made a comeback, or at least they did after the 2010 FIFA World Cup. It's now a big hit with college students, with engineers, and anyone else with agile or agile wrists and dreams of sporting glory. So, yes, college students tend to like this kind of stuff. Engineers, okay, people who design and build things. And, of course, if you have agile wrists, hey, you can play the sport as well. Agile means that you are able to move something rather quickly. And, you know, this is important if you play sports. For example, if you play badminton or table tennis, you need to be very agile to be able to move really quickly to get at that ball and hit it back.
When I was a freshman in college, we had a foosball table in our dormitory.
Ooh.
And so a lot of kids would go down there and, you know, just spend some free time goofing off with the foosball table. Agile. Tom mentioned we have two pronunciations for this word. It's like fragile. You can either say fragile or fragile. Here it's agile or agile. They're both correct. So it needs somebody who's really pretty fast with their hands and their wrists. Of course, if you're a baseball player, you want agile wrists so you can swing that bat really fast when the pitcher pitches it. So it's really a big hit with college students. Like I played it when I was in college. Engineers, interesting, and anyone who has agile wrists.
I was going to say that in my dormitory, or in a lot of places, they seem to have three things there. They have a foosball table, they have a pool table, and they have a ping pong table.
And vending machines.
And, of course, vending machines. And in my college dormitory, of course, they had the video games that were popular at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Many years before that, there were pinball machines, which I haven't really seen here in Taiwan. The steel ball kind of moves around and bumps into things, and you have these flippers and stuff like that. Yeah, here they've got games that you play with steel balls, but it's more about winning points and winning tickets and exchanging them for a prize or something. It's not quite the same thing, but in any case, if you're kind of bored playing those games on your smartphone or your iPad or whatever, and you want to improve your vision, your hand-eye coordination, maybe you ought to check this out. A foosball table, or play ping pong or pool.
Now, if you're looking for a great way to wind down after a busy week at work, you might head to a table and give foosball a whirl. Now, notice that we're not saying wind down. This is the verb wind. You can wind your watch. Most watches, we don't have to wind anymore. Technology keeps making a lot of progress. When I was a kid, you had to wind your watch in order for it to keep ticking. But now I just put the battery in and I don't have to worry about it. To wind means to turn something. To wind down means to gradually end. I could say, oh, I was at a party last night and it ended up winding down around 2 a.m. That's when it ended.
Indeed. That reminds me, a long time ago, I went to Gongguan to try to find a wind-up alarm clock because I guess they said the ticking kind of helps your baby fall asleep or something like that.
Oh, really?
Didn't really work, but hey, there was a clock store down there, and I actually found a wind-up alarm clock, which doesn't use batteries. You just wind it up. Of course, you have to do it every day.
Wow.
I highly doubt I could find another one, but in any case, yeah, wind up means something's kind of tight. Wind down means you kind of relax and loosen up. You've had a busy week at work or school. You want to relax, so hey, find a table in a bar or an arcade or other places, other venues, and give it a whirl. Give it a try. See what you can do on a foosball table. Hey, you might be the next big star in foosball. You might even appear on TV on a variety show or something.
Whirl is similar to spin around. If they whirl you around, you spin around. But if you give something a whirl, it's a phrase we use to say you're attempting something, you're trying something for the first time. You might want to try to give acting a whirl if you like to act. Or if you like to sing, maybe start up your own band. Give your band a whirl.
Sounds good. And that brings us to the end of our program. Everybody, have fun when you play foosball. And have fun the next time you join us for our program. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.